Well, we've been attempting to answer the question, what is love, from the scriptures, which are our only source of truth. The only place we can get the right answer, God's answer to these questions. And we see it's not a simple answer or a short answer. There's much to it, which is to be expected when we find that God is love. We know that we cannot know God fully because He's an infinite being and we are but finite creatures. But yet we should know Him truly, accurately, and as fully as He enables us to. Last time we looked at the fact that God's love is truthful, and also that God's love is holy and obedient. And I want us to notice some things about that. It's truthful and it's holy and obedient. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, we have a verse that brings those two thoughts kind of together. We're going to look at this a little further and more in depth today. That God's love is truthful and it's holy and obedient. It says in Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, when you love, may there be no hypocrisy, no deceit, no falsehood in your loving. May your love be true and sincere and real. Genuine love, not a so-called love. And again, we're talking about the world's love is not true love. The carnal love of the world is rather lust, not love. We're trying to understand God's love, which is a true and spiritual love. And so love has to be without dissimulation. It has to be true, not hypocritical and phony. And it all, then he goes on to say, abhor. That means hate with a very deep and strong hatred, that which is evil. And then cleave in love and affection to that which is good. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now when we talk about love, we have to also recognize there is what is called hate. The opposite of love. Some hate is sinful. Some hate is actually good and required. And we need to understand the difference there too. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 8, we're being told that to everything there is a purpose and a time, or there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Then he tells us the time for various purposes of God. And in verse 8, at the first part of the verse, he says there's a time to love and a time to hate. Well, how can you love at one time and hate at another and still be doing right? Well, a lot of examples of that. We can put them together in one case where Jesus said that if we love Him and want to follow Him, then we have to hate our mother, father, sister, brother, children, lands, whatever, for His sake. As we have to love Him so much that our love for Him, in comparison to all other loves, they are only hate. In other words, He has to be first. So there is a time of love, time to hate. Now, our scripture reading this morning in Psalm 97. In Psalm 97, you remember what he said there? David told us in verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. In other words, if you love God, you must hate evil. And if you don't hate evil, you don't really love God. Now, how is this the case? Well, we said there's a time to love and a time to hate. It's always the time to love the Lord. There's never a time we shouldn't love the Lord. And it's always the time to hate evil. There's never a time that we shouldn't hate evil. And if we really love God, we're going to love what He loves and hate what He hates. There's going to be an agreement, a likeness. Well, what does God say in Psalm 45? This is a psalm that speaks of Jesus Christ in prophecy. Verse 7, it says of the Lord Jesus, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness." So there you have the heart of God. He loves that which is right. He hates that which is wicked. Now here's the problem. We are sinners. And as sinners, we hate God and we love evil. As sinners, we hate righteousness and love wickedness. Why do you think people don't want to go to church and hear the Bible? Why do you think they don't want to hear about God or know about their duty to the Lord? Because their hearts are totally against that. So how are they ever going to love? They can't until God gives them a new heart and puts His Spirit within them. And so that's why in 1 Corinthians 13:6, where Paul tells us the characteristics of love, he says that it rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Now, since God is love, then love must be like God. What is God like? Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4 tells us exactly what God is like. Talks about the Lord our God, and then it says this about Him. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. A perfect, just, and righteous God whose ways are judgment. But notice what he says, a God of truth and without iniquity. Now, since God is love, what is true love, God's love, like? It doesn't rejoice in iniquity because there's none of that in God. That's the opposite of God. But rather it rejoices in or with the truth, which is the character of God. A God of truth and without iniquity. Now, we said God's love is truthful and God's love is holy and obedient. What else do we say? When we lie, what happens? What are we doing? We are hating and afflicting. A lying tongue hates those who are afflicted by it. When we sin, when we're not holy and obedient, we hate and hurt others. Sin is a very serious thing, and it does great damage. It offends God, and it brings harm to ourselves and everyone around us. And it's not love. It's not love. And so, what I want to do today is notice the place of truth in relation to love and how being truthful is loving, where being untruthful, sinning, is being unloving. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, the tongue is the organ of speech. It's by the tongue we are able to express words and convey thoughts, communicate. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Or they that love this power of speech and use it properly will reap good fruit. Or on the other hand, those who do not love it and misuse the tongue will have bitter fruit as a result. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it, of course, our words are either truthful or they are false. And that's a primary characteristic of our words, our speech. And notice what it says in Psalm 52 about our natural speech. The speech of the ungodly. It says in verse 2, "Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs." Like a sharp razor working deceitfully. In other words, cutting words that dig deep and do a lot of harm. They hurt. And notice, thou lovest evil more than good. And then he gives a specific example of that. And lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. Now I said before, we are to love righteousness, hate iniquity. But as sinners, we hate righteousness, love iniquity. And so we love evil more than good, lying more than to speak righteousness. Why? Because we want nothing to do with God or anything that represents God or would help others know God. And so we don't want to do anything that would bring blessing and benefit to others. We only want to cause them hurt and ultimately death and destruction because our hearts are filled with hate. People, you know, you'd say, people always wrestle with, why is there so much violence? Why is there so much hatred? Why is there so much cruelty and bloodshed? Why? Because people are by nature hateful and delight in hurting others. Even to the point of, I'm going to speak in such a way as to lead you from the truth, which we'll see ultimately will bring death. In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 18, as a madman, yeah, a lot of times you see these people go berserk, and they, you know, they start shooting up or bombing, or you know, you hear about all these atrocities. What about the guy who's going around speaking falsely? Well, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. I mean, what worse than to cause someone's death? That's murder. Well, he says, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Or is he can lie to his fellow man and think it's a game or a joke. Just having fun. And yet bringing, it's like a man having flaming arrows and bringing death and destruction everywhere he sends them. That's what false words do. In the power of the tongue is life and death. And what is the wages of a false tongue? Well, let's look at Proverbs 12. Verse 19 says, I'll read 18 and 19. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Would you like someone to have a sword run it through you? No. Well, what about someone that speaks like he was doing that? But the tongue of the wise is health. The lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Or deceit can only bring evil. And then verse 22, the lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. When a man sins by speaking falsehood, lies, he is actually promoting death by his tongue. Why, I would never murder anyone. Have you ever lied? Have you ever said anything to them that was contrary to the truth of God? That is a form of sin, and sin, of course, brings death. You know, Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. James chapter 1, verse 14 says, or 15, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Whereas again, if we love, we don't sin. When we sin, we're not loving. We're showing hate, which is the fruit of our lust. And he says, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Lying is a sin. Sin, its ultimate end is death. And so, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Lying is a means of bringing death. And all men are liars. You know, we have a false nature, and it, you know, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and the tongue, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and out of a deceitful heart comes deceitful words. In other words, men are seeking to bring death on one another. Sometimes we don't really think about how serious a matter it is, but I will bring you to an example of this that will help us to see it. In John 8, verse 44, what was the greatest act of murder ever committed? Well, of course, the worst murder was the murder of Christ, but the murder that produced more death and destruction than any other was the first one. And who was that by? The devil. In John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. No, it's not the love of God you will do. The lust of the devil you will do as your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. All right, he departed from the truth and became a murderer. Why? Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is the author of sin. Sin originated with Satan. And Satan brought sin upon the human race when he tempted Adam and Eve. What form did that temptation take? A lie. He told them that if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would not die, when God had said they would die. You shall surely die. You won't die. Matter of fact, God knows that if you eat it, you'll be better. You'll be like him, knowing good and evil. So he brought Adam and Eve into sin, and what was the fruit of their sin? In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He brought them to death by a lie, contradicting and opposing God's truth. And not only did he put them to death, but he slew the whole human race at that point. Because Adam and Eve were our first parents, and it was as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The devil murdered the human race, and he did it by a lie. And what are we doing? The lusts of our father. We are children of the devil. He brought sin upon the human race. We followed him in his temptation. We sinned, and so we became like him, sinners, and he's our spiritual father in that sense. And he has the power of death, because he brought death upon the human race through his temptation. And what is the condition of the human race? Titus 3 and verse 3. We also ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived. Well, following lies, deceived. Serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. So we are following the lusts of our father. You know, God is love. Where did hate come from? Hate as a sin came from Satan. He hated and envied man. He had malice toward man. He attacked man in the Garden of Eden and brought man into sin, and in doing that separated him from God and brought upon him death and damnation, all in one single act. And here we are following him and hating one another. Now, so if you go to 1 John 3, what do you find there? It says in verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And of course, what is Jesus? He is the truth. He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he's come to turn us away from the devil's lies and from the sin and death that his lies brought back to God and to righteousness and life. Notice what it says in verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Here's how you can tell who's a child of God and who's a child of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Anyone who does not love his brother is not of God, but he's a child of the devil. Notice what verse 12 says. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. All right, Cain was a child of the devil and slew his brother. He murdered Abel. And wherefore slew he him? Why? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Because he was sinning and his brother was doing the will of God, and he envied his brother and felt hate and malice in his heart toward his brother because his brother was doing right. Which shows the heart of Satan. The devil hates what is right, and he attacks it and tries to destroy it, and we do that too. Verse 15. If you don't love your brother, you're not of God, you're a child of the devil. And what else does it say? Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Remember, a lying tongue hates those who are afflicted by it. And so whoever lies to his brother, whoever hates his brother, is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. It's the power of death. You know, sometimes we don't realize the seriousness of false doctrine, error, that which is heresy or contrary to the scriptures. We need to realize that because it endangers far more than our physical bodies. It endangers our eternal souls. And if we believe lies and follow heresy, it will destroy our soul forever. And that's why false teachers and false prophets are so dangerous. Let's go a little further. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, it says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Why? Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Right? The darkness was the time of sin and ignorance, the time without Christ. But now, through Christ, the true light now shines. Remember, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We saw that last week in chapter 1. He that saith he is in the light, or in the truth of God, knows God, has fellowship with God, is right with God. He that says that and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So, hatred of our brother is a state of darkness, a state of sin and misery and death. It's a case of being in a condition of lies. In 1 John 4:20, it says, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? He doesn't. He hates God and his brother also, who says he loves God and yet hates his brother. Now, where is darkness? Where did that come from? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He's a holy God. a sinless and pure and perfect God. So where did darkness come from? Well, again, the same thing we've been talking about, from the devil, who is a liar and a murderer. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." All right, Satan and his demons are like spiritual rulers or overseers. They have power over those who don't know Christ, who are still in darkness. Against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in high places or heavenly places. Now, what do we see? You know, the devil's called the prince of darkness. Men are under his rule. They are in his kingdom. And because there is nothing but sin and error in that kingdom, there is no love there, only hate and deceit. And that's where what we find all around us in the world. That explains why the world is in the condition it's in. You know, that's why Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, to deliver us out of this present evil world according to the will of God and his Father. In Proverbs chapter 19, now lies are very dangerous. Like I say, they have the power of death. They're dangerous to the one who speaks them, and they're dangerous to the one who receives them. In Proverbs 19, verse 9, it says, "A false witness shall not be unpunished." Right, those who speak lies will not escape punishment. "And he that speaketh lies shall not escape. They will surely be judged by God." So they're the ones who are speaking or spreading lies. They are under God's judgment and facing his wrath. Notice about those who believe lies. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. In verse 9 it says, talking about the Antichrist, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Now even the devil has false imitation miracles through his instruments that deceive people. You see it today all around with all this claim of tongues and prophesyings and healings and all this other stuff. But they're lying wonders. They lead people away from God and his truth into falsehood and into destruction. Notice, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Why do they perish? Well, they're deceived and in sin, and because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They don't have love for the truth. They don't want to be saved. And so it says, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion." All right, he's going to give them what they want, their lies, that they should believe a lie. And what will be the result of that? "That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Men, again, they hold down or suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. They prefer their sin to God's will. And the truth, of course, would lead them out of their sin into obedience to God. And so that truth to them is something they do not want. They do not delight in. They refuse to believe it so that they can continue in their sinful ways and ultimately perish. Notice Revelation 21 and verse 8, it says there, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Again, that's the power of lies to bring death, not only temporal but eternal. Chapter 21 or 22 and verse 15 says, "For without, outside the heavenly city, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Men love lies, and so they invent and produce lies out of that love for lies. But they love not the truth, that they might be saved. It's a very serious thing. Let me ask you this. Can men actually love sin, love lies, falsehood, and love death and hell? They sure can, or they wouldn't be living the way they were. If they had any desire or love for God and truth, they would flee their sins and be wherever God wanted them to be. You know, hearing His word, prayer, fellowship, and living as He would have them to live. But notice what Proverbs chapter 8 says. I don't think we have any idea just how bad things are, just how lost people are. I mean, you think, oh, poor people, they wish they could be saved and they just don't know what to do. No, they wish not to be saved, and that's why they're doing what they're doing. They're avoiding it at all costs. Not that we shouldn't have pity on people, but we need to realize they're doing these things very much intentionally, not because they don't know better. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, "Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not." God's word. He says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." In other words, yearning and striving to learn what God says. "For whoso findeth me findeth" what? "Life." "Find the Lord through his word and you find life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." They prefer evil to good. They prefer lies to truth. They prefer hate to love. They prefer death to life. What's the ultimate lie? I mean, there are many lies, but what does it really come down to? What is the greatest and most damning of all lies? 1 John 2, we saw it right there. In verses 21 and 22. "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." In other words, there's no mixing truth and error. It's either true or false. And here's the ultimate liar. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He that denies the person and work of Christ as our only Savior, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So there you have the essence of all false religion and of all damning doctrine, denying that Jesus is the Christ. As soon as we deny Jesus, instead of trusting Jesus, we have sealed our eternal doom. So, God's love is truthful, it's holy and obedient. When we lie to someone, we hate them and afflict them. In a sense, we do what we can to murder them and destroy their soul. And that's why when we sin, which is again a deviance from the truth, what we do is we hate and hurt others and do what lies in us to ultimately damn them. It's a very serious matter. But what should we do then? Psalm 32. Psalm 32. In verse 12 it says, I'm sorry, I want Psalm 34, verse 12. "What man is he that desires life?" Right, do you want life? Not death. "And loveth many days," good days, "that he may see good." How? "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. How do we do that? Well, Psalm 119:97, that's a very well-known phrase. It says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." We need to saturate our minds and hearts with the Scriptures, the Word of God. Think on it day and night, and then speak and act according to it. We're talking about destroying souls. It's by the Word of God that souls are saved. Psalm 19, verse 7 says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. All right, the law of God will convert us from sin to Christ. You know, we're to receive with meekness the engrafted word that's able to save our soul. Now, Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." God's word is truth. And in his word, we hear what God has done for us through Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. And we need to believe that testimony of God, that gospel message. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 says, "Who will have all men," God our Savior will have all men to be saved. How? "To come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." That's the truth. One God, one way to God, Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again. And when we come to him and believe on him, we are saved. That's the truth. Now, sin and lies bring what? Death. What does the truth bring? Salvation and life. Notice how the gospel is described in Acts chapter 5 and verse 20. The apostles had been arrested, and the Lord sent an angel to deliver them. And here's what he told them to do. Verse 20. "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Like I say, it's the Spirit who quickens or makes alive. The words that Jesus speaks to us, they are spirit, they are life, and they're the truth. "In the power of the tongue, the power of life and death." We speak lies and falsehood and error, death. We speak the truth of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, life. And in Zechariah 8, men, they refuse to receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So God tells us we mustn't hate his word and reject his truth in unbelief, but believe it and love it. He says in verse 17, "Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these things are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace." Love the truth and peace. Look with me at Ephesians 4. Notice the difference being saved makes. Before we're saved, we love lies, we speak lies, we bring death and destruction on one another, hating one another, but now we've been transformed by the power of God, and notice the difference it makes. Talks about how Gentiles live their lives, those who don't know God, but verse 20 says, "But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, Right? You've heard him in the scriptures, and as the Spirit opened your heart to the scriptures, and so you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, and here's what you do, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts. Right? Our life is full of the lusts of deceit. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Right? No more following after those false ways. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Right? We're new men in Christ. We're to live a holy, righteous life. Wherefore, here's one of the first things we're to do. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for your members one of another. Then verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Don't let his lies have any place in your mind or heart or conversation any longer. Notice, our old man was corrupt by its own deceitful lusts, but now we've learned the truth. And now we are a new man in Christ, made holy and righteous in him, and so we are to speak the truth with one another and no longer allow the devil a place in our lives. See, wherever there is holiness, there will be truth associated with it. Wherever there is sin, there is a lie or lies that will be associated with it. Why don't we give you a real good example of that? Now, we heard that God is light, 1 John chapter 1. No darkness in him. We're to have fellowship with him and walk in the light as he is in the light. But if we claim to have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, there's not only verbal lies, there's practical lies. If I say I love God and I live a life of sin, I'm living a lie. I'm claiming something that is a falsehood. That's a false profession. I'm contradicting it by my behavior. Now notice what it says in verse 8. We say that we have no sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. See, God says we're sinners. If I say I'm not a sinner, I deny God's word, I lie to myself, I show myself to be devoid of God's truth, and I cut myself off from any hope of being saved. If I'm not a sinner, I don't need a Savior. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. If I'm not a sinner, he does not need to save me, and so I refuse to come to Christ. That's the power of lies and how destructive they are. And so what's the best thing we can do? We'll close with James chapter 5. Let's speak the truth and bring others to the truth and help them to come to the Lord and be saved. James chapter 5 verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, what of course converts him is the truth. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way, from the lies that he is believing and following, he shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Lying is a sin that brings death. You know, truth is the way of salvation and life. And as we preach the truth to others, and God blesses our witness, he says they are saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what we should be doing all the time, promoting truth and blessing and life and salvation, not lies and death and hell and destruction. God help us to do that, because we all talk every day. And in, you know, life and death are in the power of that tongue. Choose life. Let's close in prayer.